Welcome to the BeginnerTriathlete.com podcast, episode number 5. My name is Jeremy Vaught from Triathlon Radio at TriathlonRadio.com, and this podcast is brought to you by When Big Boys Try at WhenBigBoysTry.com. Get the humorous, inspirational book by Michael Page titled When Big Boys Try. Also, check out the comprehensive American Medical Society for Sports Medicine articles on injuries at beginner triathlete. D3Multisports.com brings dozens of detailed training plans to BeginnerTriathlete.com subscribers. Just go to BeginnerTriathlete.com and click on Training Plans to view the list. Become a Gold member to get online coaching with these plans. Today we are talking with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has such an amazing story. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about. I'm just going to let her do all the talking. So let's just get into it. Here's Elizabeth.
Why don't you just start off talking about what you've gone through to get to where you are right now, or when you started with triathlons?
Sure. Back in the day when I was a kid, I was a ballet dancer, semi-professionally, doing a ton, dancing a lot through college, through high school and all of that. And did a lot of other active stuff. I was never really an athlete. I didn't do sport. But through dance and through running for basic fitness or whatever, I was always pretty active. Then when I was 21, I went in to have my tonsils taken out, and the surgery was botched pretty badly. And as a result of a long story that I won't bore the BT community with, I ended up getting a heart infection, which prompted a chronic heart condition for me, which basically made my heart beat too quickly. So I went through a number of years of medications and not being able to exercise. When I would exercise after getting that heart condition, I would routinely average a heart rate of about 230 beats a minute, which is just impossible to sustain for long periods of time without really feeling awful.
Right.
So I was limited to exercise for about 20 minutes a day, if that. And I was on medication that made it hard to exercise. So I would do 20 minutes a day of running, and I was annoyed because I wasn't used to being, I mean, I was 21. I was always active. I wasn't used to not being active or not being allowed to be active. So I'd go in, I'd do my 20 minutes on a treadmill and then hop off, and I got bored. So I tried doing 30 minutes on a treadmill, and I got bored. So I tried going outside and doing 30 minutes, and I gradually sort of kept pushing it and trying to do more, to the point where my doctors would say, "Oh, you can't do 40 minutes." I said, "Well, I just did." "All right, well, that's fine. Do that for a while."
Yeah.
And I seemed to top out at an hour. I just couldn't run for longer than an hour without passing out or getting sick. So I would run for an hour on a treadmill. So if I did pass out, I wasn't, on a trail somewhere.
Good idea.
Far away. And last year I decided I was kind of sick of being sick, and I didn't like being a 24-year-old with a heart problem. And I was kind of over it, I guess. So I registered for the Army 10 miler, which I had registered for 3 years in a row and was never able to complete the training. And last year I registered for it and I said, "I'm just going to do it." And my heart doctor said, "Well, you have to, you can't really go for over an hour." And I said, "Well, I'll just run really quick."
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Great plan.
Yeah.
It turned out it was a terrible plan. And this was the year that they mismarked the course of the Army 10 miler. It was actually 11 and a half miles.
Oh, wow.
And so I walked a lot of it. I did get sick on the course. I mean, it was just a very miserable experience. I did not have any fun, and I went home and I slept the rest of the day, and I was sick and miserable. So I was back at my heart doctor's office, and I was saying, what can we do? This is ridiculous. I'm 24. I should be able to go do whatever I want to do. And she mentioned to me, she said, "Well, in the time since you've gotten sick and now, they've actually improved medicine so much, there's a procedure that can fix your heart problem. And it used to be risky. Now it's very commonplace. It's outpatient surgery. And, you should look into it." And I did, and it seemed great. There were some risks, but for someone my age, I'm 25 now, but for someone my age, getting that done versus, being on medicine for the rest of my life and sort of being a semi-invalid, it seemed way preferable to me.
Sure.
So I went in December, had the procedure. What they went in, it was very, very easy. They went in and burned off a section of my heart that was creating the rhythm problems. And I was home that night, and I was running about a week and a half later, probably. And it really sucked.
When you had to start again?
Yeah, I sort of had this vision that after the surgery, I would be completely better. My heart would be super awesomely functional.
Right.
And I could just go do all the things I, you know, wanted to be able to do, but couldn't because I had this limitation. And it wasn't actually like that at all. It was like taking 2 weeks off of working out. Plus, you know, I'd had a lot of anesthesia and drugs during the procedure that, mm-hmm. you know, made me feel very lethargic. And plus, you know, my heart had just had a piece of it burned off. So it wasn't healed yet.
Sure.
So I went out for a run and I just was totally excited to go out and, you know, have a great run. And it was just, it was hard. It was like I'd never run a day in my life. And, you know, I went out for maybe 20 minutes and came home all depressed and crying. And it was very frustrating. So I ended up from that registering for a half marathon in February because
mm-hmm.
I wanted something to work towards instead of just being depressed that it was hard. I wanted to have a training plan or something that would keep me moving. And actually, one of my BT friends sent me a running skirt under the theory that if you look cute, you'll always want to work out. Because I know it's hard. I know you're not in the mood to go work out, and it's really frustrating. But you look cute. So
from those, running skirt, those that are made by Daboom.
Yeah, right. The okay. Trick skirt.
Okay.
So, and it was great. And she sent it to me. And I remember on New Year's Eve, right before January 1st, I actually went on a 7-mile run New Year's Eve day, the 31st. And it was really slow and it was really painful, but I thought that was such a great way to sort of start the new year. It was great to be out there. It was a longer than an hour run,
Yeah. Which
I'd never done before. And I did it and I, you know, came home and took a nap and ate some food and went out and started my new year. It was great.
And that was New Year's this year.
Yeah.
And it was how long was after the surgery?
The surgery was December 16th, so just a couple weeks.
Wow. All right. So you had started running. Now, okay, so a short recap. You had done ballet, taekwondo, and also running with those, I'm assuming?
Yeah, not structured running, but, you know, I live in D.C. and would go for a jog around the reflecting pool.
Kind of stay in shape kind of
or
running.
Or whatever, but yeah.
And so now you started running. Well, you were trying to run throughout the years, I imagine, because it was probably the easiest thing to do, right? I mean, not easy as far mm-hmm. as effort, but you can just walk out the door and run. And,
yeah, exactly.
And then, so now you started running, since the last day of the year last year, starting your recovery. And, mm-hmm. And so where did triathlon come in since then?
I was dating a triathlete last year.
Okay.
And so I'd been exposed to the triathlon culture and BT. And so I'd been logging my running workouts on BT and, you know, I'd go swimming at the gym. I'd never done a triathlon, but I'm a fairly decent swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use that as sort of rest days from running. Because after I got sick, running was really the only thing I did. But then, you know, I kind of brought in swimming. And then I thought about, well, maybe I'll get a bike. And then it's kind of the downward spiral from that point into triathlon.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, well, I bet I could do a sprint, even though I have this heart problem. I'm sure I could train for a sprint and do it. Because swimming, I find fairly easy. And your heart actually beats slower on the bike, so that's not as intensive as running.
Right.
So it was always my intention to sort of do it, and then when I had the surgery, it became a real possibility for me to, you know, actually seriously train for triathlon instead of sort of just messing around
mm-hmm.
on the bike. And then I got really lucky when my boyfriend upgraded from his Cervelo Dual to a P3 Carbon, and I got the significant other discount. I got a nice deal on a cool bike. So
yeah.
Now I've got something to prove because my bike's a much nicer than a writer like me will ever be. But, and, you know, just even being on the site, it sucks you in. Even if I was just there, I was like, you know, I'll just log my running workouts and I know these people and I'll, you know, chat with them and whatever, and they can do their tri thing and I'll do my running thing, mm-hmm. and that'll be great. But you just get sucked in because everyone's doing it and it's attainable. You know, you see just normal people who you're friends with are training for triathlons. So yeah. It's one of those, well, I guess I could do that too.
And that was one of the draws to you for beginner triathlete?
Yeah. I mean, the people were a big draw. I had met some of them in real life before I was on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to be able to check in on, you know, friends that I knew who lived farther away and just see what they were doing. Oh, hey, nice run, nice bike. And that's really what kept me there, is if, oh, well, if I start logging, they'll, you know, they can do the same for me.
Sure.
You know, I can't even speak to how wonderful my friends on beginner triathlete have been. You know, in addition to my friend who sent me the running skirt, I had BT people sent me pajamas after the surgery for my recovery.
Oh.
I mean, you know, everyone, they were calling, and I make plans to see them regularly. We'll plan races together. We don't live near each other, but, oh, hey, well, I'll train for this race and meet up that weekend. I think I have 8 BT people staying with me the weekend of the Marine Corps Marathon.
Wow, nice.
Just, yeah. I mean, it's just that's what keeps me going back. I mean, the forums are great. There's a ton of information there. The coaching on the site is amazing. But it's definitely the community of the people there is what helps me waste 8 hours of productive work time. Otherwise productive work time, I should say.
Now, how many triathlons have you done?
I've done 3.
Done 3. And how long did it take you to train for the first one once you started running again on New Year's Eve?
I did my first triathlon in May.
Okay.
So I did a half marathon in February, and then I started thinking about really doing the triathlon. So at the time, my boyfriend was training for an Ironman, so I would get sucked in on training runs or training rides or training swims. So I was probably a little bit overtrained for a sprint, which was nice. I mean, it was definitely nice. The distance didn't scare me at all. It was a sprint distance, but it was new and kind of scary. And, you know, who the hell knows what you're doing on your first triathlon. Again, with how wonderful BT people are, though, I actually found out at the last minute that I was going to be going to my first try by myself, and I was scared and I didn't know what I was doing and blah, blah, blah. And one of my BT friends, who I had gone to watch her Ironman, which, of course, I mean, an Ironman's a huge race, and they're so much fun to spectate, and it's such a huge deal.
Right.
I was so happy I could go out and watch her race. She sent me an email the week of my first triathlon, and it just said, "Karma rocks." And it was her plane itinerary. She was coming up to watch my first try, you know, a stupid little sprint.
Yeah.
And she goes, "No, you were there." And I'm like, "Well, your Ironman, that's such a great race. Of course I'd go to that. This is, you know, an hour." But, I mean, that's just a great example of how great BT friends are. They really, you know, they'll fly across the country to go watch you do a sprint.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't fly anywhere to do any races. They only do their local ones, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So now you went from feeling like you'd never run before to doing a half marathon within 2 months?
Yeah, and it was a really slow half marathon. I'm only allowed to keep my heart rate in zone 2. I don't know if people do heart rate zone training,
right,
but
sure.
So I could only keep my heart rate in a certain, you know, in between certain heart, you know, in a certain beat. So I had to keep my zone 2 is how many beats a minute to 179 beats a minute, which for most people is, you know, death, but.
Mm-hmm.
That's my easy effort. And for me at that time of the half marathon, that was about a 13-minute mile. And that really sucks. It was slow. It was a long day. I was running with 2 BT friends who said they just sort of would suck it up and do my really slow jog with me,
mm-hmm.
even though they were capable of running much, much quicker. And so we did it. We came in just under 3 hours. And I mean, it was a long morning, but it was great because I didn't feel like my heart was a limiting factor at all at that point.
Right.
The only thing that was hard about that is just sort of the wear and tear of running for almost 3 hours, but at no point was my heart bothering me. And that was in February, which was great. And actually, I'm training for the Marine Corps Marathon right now, and I ran the equivalent of a half marathon the other week, you know, 13.1 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it I think, almost 30 minutes quicker than I did in February, but at the same heart rate effort.
Oh.
So that's been really cool for me to see my heart heal from the surgery and get stronger.
That is exciting.
Has been extremely awesome. Yeah. Oh, I'm totally excited. That's been fun.
So you still have it those limitations on your, because your heart, so it still beats a little fast, or a lot fast.
Yeah. It does. I actually just about a month ago, my cardiologist discharged me. She said, I don't need a heart doctor anymore, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no longer, you know, I couldn't do any speed work after the surgery. I couldn't do any before the surgery either, but I couldn't do any after the surgery. And I was really limited to staying in zone 2 training. And that was for about 6 months. And 6 months after the surgery, she said, no, you know, not, you know, I have one of the healthiest hearts she's ever seen, which if for a heart doctor to say is kind of like, I don't know, being the smartest kid in the remedial class, but also is really cool. She said, you know, your heart's in great shape. You no longer have a rhythm problem. Go work out, be free.
Wow. So now you can do your speed workouts.
I can. I didn't realize, I think I got what I asked for, which they're really not that fun. I don't know why I was so excited to do them, but yeah. And now, I mean, I was told many years ago I would never be able to run a marathon and that it was just kind of stupid to think about. And now I'm training for one, mostly just because that was annoying to hear and I didn't like hearing it.
Okay.
And I think I'm looking forward to in training starting to do things just because I want to, not because I'm trying to prove that I can.
Right.
But it has been really fun for me to be able to do that. Not only do things that, you know, to do things that not many people want to do anyway, let alone people who have heart conditions or are sick or whatever. I don't like feeling sick, or I didn't like being 21 years old with any limitation at all.
Sure.
So days when I feel like I can't run or I can't work out, it gets very sense memory for me feeling like I'm sick again. I don't like that. So hopefully I'll be training just because it's something that, you know, I want to do and not because I'm trying to run away from being sick, but
now,
for now it'll do.
Do you know others with the same type of heart problems?
I do. I met a girl who, a friend of a friend who has the same heart condition as me, and she had been a high school track star.
Okay.
And had gone to school for track and could no longer run. So the heart medicine that she's on, which was the same stuff I was on, she actually gained about 80 pounds through the medicine and has had the procedure I had 6 times and it hasn't worked.
Oh, wow.
And she cannot run for over 20 minutes a day. And even that is very taxing for her. And she actually, I mean, it was hard to meet her because she was understandably annoyed that, you know, I had the surgery and I'm great.
Yeah.
And she's going, but I've had 6 of them. And I'm going, oh man. But it sort of reminds me not to bitch too much about how hard it was to get back to running, because it's really just amazing that, you know, I could do it at all.
Yeah. The reason I asked that is, do you see the same kind of drive to want to get past this and want to be active again in her as you saw in yourself? Or do you think you had an extra kind of amount of wanting to push through this?
I think the difference was, for her, she had always been a very successful athlete and now isn't. And I had never really been an athlete.
Right.
And so it was new for me. So I think I'm okay with not being very good.
Right.
I mean, I'm really slow and I don't really like being slow, but you know, I don't have anything to compare it to. The only thing I can compare it to is not being able to do anything at all.
Yeah.
So for me, I think it's easier for me to do things like run a really slow half marathon and just be happy that I finished, because I can't compare it to me running a really quick half marathon. I've never done that.
Absolutely.
So I guess, you know, as far as drive goes, it's just a very different perspective. Someone on the forums used the term adult onset athlete, which I love, because
yeah.
I totally feel like that.
Yeah.
And I think it just changes your perspective. I mean, like I said, I don't like being slow, but I do, doing this at all is new for me. So it's an accomplishment for me to finish anything.
Well, it's an interesting thing, because there's two things that I see here. And one is that some people in triathlons and obviously other things, they define themselves by being a triathlete or whatever they do. And then if they can't do that anymore, it's devastating, right? So that's one thing that obviously happened to her, that that is a good lesson to not do, not define yourself by what you do because you're still you, right? And the other the other lesson is that everybody has their own pace in triathlon. You know, I'm never gonna win in Hawaii, and
not with that attitude.
Well, it's pretty much a fact.
Sorry.
and other people, there's a few people, they have that opportunity, and that's their pace. That's where they go. But we're all really racing against ourselves. It's more than we're racing against each other. And the pace that we can go is the pace we are. And so it's encouraging to see that even though you may feel like you take forever, you know, that's what your pace is, and you're still out there pushing yourself to do everything that you can do within the body that you have now.
Yeah, I think the challenge for me is really going to be, you know, you're saying people identify themselves as triathletes, and that's who they are. I have found myself identifying myself as a heart patient, and that's who I am, and that's why I'm slow, or that's why I, you know, can't do this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. And the challenge for me now is that's not a factor really anymore.
Right.
Now I'm just a new beginner triathlete. And it's it was a nice crutch to have an excuse for being slow. You know, it's really easy on the ego.
Yeah.
Well, I can't help it. So now it's been really interesting for me to just sort of own it and know that, you know, I'm so excited that even though the 13 miles I ran the other week were still very slow, they were still 11 minute miles. But they weren't 13 minute miles. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And that was a great day for me.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think, why I like individual sports much more than I'll ever like group sports, is because every win and every failure is completely on you.
Yeah.
And there's really no excuse for a failure except, you know, for yourself. But there's also, you know, every success is for you. You know, it's yours.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, I love that.
Absolutely. And I've said this in previous shows that I have more respect for that person that's coming across the line a long time after the big group does, because it's actually more difficult on them, and they're putting through more effort to do that and going through hardships. You know, a lot of people, it's that they're trying to lose a lot of weight. You know, you're trying to get past this heart problem, and it's more difficult on you than it is for the Speedy Gonzalez that comes in third place. So, way to go.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I love about triathlon is you can finish, and someone who finished literally hours before you will come up and say good job, and they'll mean it.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's great. It's such a great sport on that respect.
Well, unfortunately, that's we're out of time.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on. Is there any one last thing you want to say, or any advice you would have for somebody that is going through what you did? Or
I guess, oh gosh, off the top of my head, I guess all I would say is just go outside and do it. It's just so easy to not do things and to not train or to beat yourself up because you missed the training session or you're not going as quick as you want or whatever. But if you can go outside, just go outside and run or hop on your bike, because every little bit helps. And you have to get into the habit of just training and doing it. And I think that's what helped me when I was sick and I couldn't do a lot of stuff, and it would have been really easy to not do anything, but just sort of sucking it up and going out and being really slow and only working out for 20 minutes. You know, it's better than nothing, and it gets you somewhere. Mm-hmm. Might not be exactly where you want to be, but it does get you somewhere.
Well, wonderful. So. Well, it was great talking to you, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure.
And thanks again, Elizabeth. If you want to support BeGoodInTriathlete.com, you can do that by becoming a performance member and get detailed training plans, exclusive articles, and enhanced training log features such as graphs, advanced editing functions, training plan analyzers, 5-day weather forecast feeds, and an equipment tracker.
Just click on the Our Services link for the details on memberships. And if you're just crazy about the sound of my voice, you can hear more on Triathlon Radio at triathlonradio.com. Subscribe to this podcast at www.podcast.beginnertriathlete.com. And by subscribing, you will get new interviews automatically downloaded to your computer and then to your portable MP3 player if that's the way you choose to listen. And that's a great way to listen to more great interviews with fellow members of Beginner Triathlete at the beginnertriathlete.com podcast. Thanks for listening.